Reporter Ursula Lindsay covers Egypt for The World. She joins us now. You were in the same crowd in Tahrir Square this past month as fellow journalist Laura Logan was when she says she was sexually assaulted and beaten. This, of course, can happen to anybody. It can happen anywhere and does. But the facts of this particular case have struck a raw nerve among many people in Egypt. Can you explain why?
A lot of people who were in the protests, one of the things that they found the most striking about these protests was how much women participated. And for the women themselves, it was a moment in which they felt that they owned public space as much as men, that they were equal participants in this movement. And many remarked upon this to me, and I myself observed how large the numbers of women were in the protests. So the fact that this attack happened on the night that people were celebrating the success of this revolution, I think, has shocked people here and greatly disappointed them. They want to say that this is not representative of the revolution, and that one of the things that this movement seemed to promise was a different kind of relations between, you know, not just Muslims and Christians, but men and women here.
And explain that more. I mean, you say that gender didn't seem to matter that night or through the protests in Tahrir Square. How is that different from business as usual?
Business as usual is people adhere to quite traditional gender roles. Women's place is still seen by a lot of people to be in the home, and there is a fair amount of harassment of women out on the street, and the attitude of many is that women who are out in public unaccompanied, men just can't help themselves from making sexual comments or making sexual advances.
Now, I know that you've reported on this before for this program. We're going to make a link, in fact, to your previous reports at theworld.org. But to what extent does this sexual harassment and sexual assault inhibit women, perhaps including you, from doing your job?
I think it certainly can make you act a bit more cautiously. And for Egyptian women, it's also an issue. For example, one of the places in which a lot of sexual harassment happens is on public transportation. So one of the reasons that women often hesitate to work is because of having to take public transportation to get to work and the harassment that they might face on the bus or the shared taxi van or the subway.
And by the way, I'm not sure always what form the harassment takes, but does it depend in part on whether the woman is dressed in the hijab or a headscarf or completely Western dress?
It does not, although this is an argument that religious conservatives here have tried to make, that if just all women dressed modestly, there would be less harassment. In fact, surveys that have been carried out show that pretty much the vast majority of Egyptian women have faced harassment, and the vast majority of Egyptian women are, in fact, veiled.
So what's being done about this? I mean, is there an acknowledgement either by those in government or those who were demonstrating, for instance, in Tahrir Square, and that generation of this problem?
Yes. I mean, first of all, Egyptian society at large has been focused on sexual harassment and discussing it as a important social problem for some years now. In regards to this particular incident, activists were circulating a letter online this morning apologizing to Ms. Logan and perhaps more significantly apologizing to all Egyptian women who have faced sexual violence or sexual harassment and promising that this will end.
Speaking to us from Cairo, Egypt, Ursula Lindsay, freelance journalist. We've put some links to Ursula's coverage of women's issues in Egypt on our website, theworld.org. Ursula, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.